stupid. He comes across in front of me every single time he overtakes. Where does he want me to go off the track?
No! Stop talking to me in the braking zone.
That was exciting.
Hey, y'all. This is RJ O'Connell, co-host and editor of Motorsport 101. What we decided to do with episode 228, it was originally going to be one big episode, and then we realized that we might be better off splitting this up into two shows. We're just going to go straight into our reactions and our hot takes about the Autosport Magazine Top 50 Drivers of the Year 2019. Myself, Andre Harrison, Ryan King, and Cam Buckley. That's what you're about to hear for the next hour. So we're at motorsport101.com, facebook.com/motorsport101, Twitter at motorsport_101, youtube.com/motorsport101. And if you wish to back us financially, you can at patreon.com. $5 gets you early access to all of our shows. $10 gets you access to where you can listen to these shows live as they're being recorded. So without further ado, let's go ahead and just pick up on the Autosport Top 50 right after this.
It's time.
It's time.
For our main event of the evening.
Da 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 ba 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 da 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 da.
How long does RJ keep this up? Like the full SpongeBob version? Like, jeez.
Preparing the Autosport Top 50.
The secret formula is...
Right, bring the pain.
Okay,
so to quote Autosport, this year's list, spectacularly rich in videos, interviews, stats, and in-depth analysis from our correspondents around the globe. After intense debate, we have ranked drivers from over 15 disciplines and provided behind-the-scenes insight into their strengths and weaknesses. With title races going to the wire, drivers dominating high-level series, and a new crop of emerging talent to consider, compiling this year's list proved to be more challenging than ever. Agree or disagree with our top 50 ranking? Get in touch on social media.
Oh boy, did
no,
people get
I
in touch.
Won't Autosport.
Oh, don't worry, I might.
Okay, so starting at the bottom.
Yeah,
okay.
I was about to ask because I think weren't we gonna like trade off? You do 10, I do 10.
Yeah, you want to do the first 10?
Yeah, I can do the first 10. Let's lead this off. Let's get a 50.
Let me just say again, as a disclaimer, I will say this wholeheartedly. I have not seen a single name on this list. I am genuinely going into this blind. May the good Lord help us all.
All right. So I will tell you that number 50 is one of Formula One's most effective starter-type Pokemon, especially on Latin American soil.
Yes, and this driver was demoted from their team this year and is down 28 spots on last year.
That's a big drop. Is that what I think it is?
It's Pierre Gasly.
Wow. Ugh. That's a hell of a drop, given, especially given how good he was last year, but again, given how rough this year has been for Pierre overall, I would probably say more bad than good. That's understandable. Okay, fair enough.
Cam, you might want to plug your ears because Dane Cameron has made it this early into the list. At 49, your reigning IMSA Premier Class co-champion.
Yes, it should be noted that the other IMSA champion, his teammate, Juan Pablo Montoya, did not make the list.
Yeah, and Dan That's Cameron bullshit. Was far and away the best driver in DPI this year. It wasn't close. He had a podium streak that won them the championship. Eat shit, Autosport.
the IMSA defender has logged in.
Yeah,
it's going to get worse.
I'd almost argue that he was the best sports car driver on Earth this year.
Well, I was going to say, if the best sports car driver in the world barely gets in at 49, that's not a good sign.
I don't know. I wager that there are some better sports car drivers, but that's just my own personal onion. At number 48, the runner-up in the FIA Oscaro World Touring Car Cup for TCRs from Argentina is Esteban Guerrieri.
No one cares about the WTCR. Next.
In 47... He is the Iron... He is... God, he's getting to the point where he's becoming one of the Iron Men of the NASCAR Cup Series. Kevin Harvick in at 47. Obviously demoted points for driving the Millennial Falcon.
Yes, he was third in the Cup Series. This year, he's down 18 spots on last year.
Third in the championship puts you down 18 spots on this
especially
list.
When Yikes. He was fighting against a wall of Joe Gibbs cars, which were the dominant force in NASCAR this year.
Sounds like it. All right, fair enough. Next.
Clocking in at number 46 is a man who I could talk about ad nauseum because, after all, he was fifth in the Super Formula Championship and a first-time winner. He is your reigning and defending GT500 Drivers Champion of Japan, Kenta Yamashita.
Nice, I guess. Again, I have no idea where to evaluate Super GT and G200 on that list.
I think it'll become easier to evaluate who's who on the list once we start going through names and you start noticing a lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah, and especially with people that he's raced against.
Yeah.
Mainly in other championships. This becomes important later. Number 45. He was FormulaScout.com's number one prospect. He is only 45 on the list and not even the top junior Formula driver. It's Robert Schwartzman, your reigning and defending Formula 3 champion and authorized national athlete.
That sounds a little low for Schwartzman. I thought Schwartzman was going to be top 30. So I'm actually surprised he's a busy
Remember that series you care nothing about?
Oh, no.
At 44, he is Hungary's number one in a post-Zolt Baumgartner economy, Norbert Michelis.
The WTCR champion.
Psych.
No one cares Next. About WTCR. Not even the manufacturers. They're all leaving.
I only cared about WTCR when Rotolo Miata was racing, and because I have a personal investment and want to see the guys succeed, and that was just one round.
Why the hell do they have even WTCR so strongly?
Adam Johnson, you may want to plug your ears to find out who is next. He is your record-equaling four-time British Touring Car Champion of the World, Colin Turkington, at 43.
Well, it would be an Autosport top 50 without Colin Turkington in there somewhere now, wouldn't it?
Surprisingly enough, Turkington wasn't on the list last year.
Bruh.
I actually forgot about that, to be fair. But yeah, all right. Fair enough.
At 42, he was unsuccessful in his defense of his sports car championship, and unsuccessful in defense of his Super Formula championship. But he won races in Super Formula, won podiums in Super GT, and most importantly, he did damn pretty good for himself in his one and only FP1 session. It's Naoki Yamamoto.
It should be noted that quote, top bullet point on his entry is made F1 practice debut.
You F1 worshipping fucking losers.
That just sums it all up right there, doesn't it? It's like, that's an actual achievement, apparently, compared
that's
to
That's so fucking disrespectful to his achievements outside.
That's an insult to my intelligence as a motorsport fan.
I'm obliged to say nothing, for fear I must scream.
Fair enough.
Speaking of, let's throw it back to individuals we talked about before. In at number one, he is the reigning
Super Formula Rookie of the Year, and the newest member of the Dale Coyne Racing Stable, Alex Palamontalbo, at 41.
That's a weird place given the guys before him.
Yeah, yeah, considering that both, you know, the GT500 champions behind him.
The GT500 champions behind
him. And the Super Formula Championship runner-up.
Yeah, which, you know, he finished third in Super Formula.
And it was a close third. Like, I don't have
a close third. I will say Yamamoto did not have a great middle of the year. But still, that makes no statistical sense.
I'm always of the opinion that these guys should be rated higher, but that's just my personal onion. And my personal opinions are not valued at the Motorsport Network and this establishment.
We knew this. Okay. And then it's up for
okay.
Me.
It's my turn.
Yes, obviously, America's number one World Rallycross fan is going to lead this off with our next batch of top 40.
Yes, 40th on the list, your World Rallycross runner-up, Andreas Bakkerud. That's all I need to say on the matter. Next on the list, 39th on the list, your World Rallycross champion, Timmy Hansen.
So World Rallycross tops out at 39.
Yes.
Where was Johan Kristoffersen in comparison last year?
I'm pretty sure he was lower on the list last year.
Bruh.
Wasn't Kristoffersen quite deep on this list last year, if I remember correctly?
Actually, let me pull up last year's list quick.
So I was like, wasn't he in the top 20 last year?
Yeah.
Because, so why have they suddenly topped him out at 39 this year, then, if the series champion is 39th? What the hell happened?
The manufacturer involvement, all the direct manufacturer involvement just going away, and the fact that Johan had to leave to give these boys a chance.
Yeah, so Kristoffersen was 23rd.
Okay, so I wasn't like a million miles off. Yeah, that sounded about right. Okay.
Next on the list, fourth in the NASCAR Cup Series this year, 38th, Denny Hamlin.
Believe your reigning Daytona 500 winner and noted fight participant.
It was a bitch fight. We don't talk about it.
No, it was a bitch fight. We don't acknowledge bitch fights in Fight Club. So how is the guy that's fourth in the series ranked higher?
Because as you know, the NASCAR playoffs are only the most valid way to analyze whether someone was good across a year. Hamlin.
So literally, the difference between Hamlin and Harvick was a matter of positions, because the NASCAR finale is a winner take all between the top four drivers. Oh, so if you finish last of the four in the finale, you're fourth.
Yeah, Hamlin was better across the year. Hamlin's second half of the year was excellent, and he was doing it, I believe, with a torn labrum in his shoulder.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I just, again, that's more of an
issue. Yeah, with the NASCAR ones, there's a bit of an asterisk. Just like everything with NASCAR these days.
Fair enough. That's not on Autosport. That's on NASCAR being NASCAR. Next!
Okay, so 12th in the FIA Formula One World Championship.
Whoa,
37th on the list, Kimi Raikkonen.
Can you tell I just had a drink? I don't have a lot to say on this one, because it's like, well, we've had two F1 guys so far. Pierre Gasly barely made the list. Raikkonen,
It's gonna depend on how the list goes from here.
Yeah,
and,
okay. Okay, carry on. I'll get back to that later.
So, fifth in the FIA Formula E Championship.
Bruh.
36th on the list.
Bruh.
Mitch Evans.
Free to play Evans. Was very impressive in Formula E last year, so that does actually make some sense. I like Mitch in that series, so yeah, that actually sounds about right from where I'm sitting. Okay, next.
Okay, next on the list, your IMSA GTLM champion, 35th on the list, Lawrence Van Thorne.
Okay, I defer to Cam on this one.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
You good with that? Okay.
Yeah, I go back to Dane Cameron, like, they both pulled off a lot of really great feats in their series. I don't know why Cameron is 49th and Lawrence is where he is.
I was going to say, like, how do you have Van Four above Dane?
I don't know.
But how much do you value GT racing over prototypes?
With the competitive nature of IMSA now, you know, both classes are a gauntlet to try and win. You've got stacked lineups up and down the grid in both classes. And I'd argue that Juan Pablo was a little bit all over the place this year as Dane Cameron's
co-driver. I think they do deserve to be closer.
Yeah, whereas...
I do think they deserve to be Vantor closer.
Was great, but he also had Earl fucking Bamber in the seat with him.
Earl Bamber, who I don't even think made the list.
Next.
Move on before I snap.
Next. 34th on the list, 7th in the IndyCar series, including 2 wins and becoming the youngest race winner in IndyCar history, Colton Herta.
Yeah.
Hey.
A little low for my liking, but I like it.
Next
on the list.
I'd say first time entry. I think that's about right.
I think he was hurt by his Indy 500, which of course was not his fault.
Of course.
No.
Yeah.
Although he did bring an Infinity Gauntlet to the press photos.
Yeah, he snapped his own car by accident.
Okay, 33rd on the list, runner-up in DTM, and new rookie in Formula E this season, Nico Müller.
The only dude in Rene Rast's zip code all season long in DTM. Yeah. Although, I do gotta say, it is a bit of a weird flex that they put DTM so high above another championship that has the exact same regulations, though I understand it is kind of closer to their base of operations.
Yeah, and
I
was DTM
say,
being...
talking about a European publication.
Yeah, and DTM is a three-class, it's a three-class series. You got the Audis, you got the BMWs, and then you've got whatever Aston Martin's doing.
Okay, moving on.
That seems a little high, but okay. No, that's not totally egregious. Okay, next.
Moving on. Our NASCAR Cup Series runner-up. 32nd on the list, Martin Truex Jr.
They've put the NASCAR guys pretty close together then, haven't they?
Yeah, they bunched them up real close. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, that's... I think that's a bit on the low side, though.
Again, because of how NASCAR's playoff system works, I don't remember if the eventual champion is higher up on the list, but...
He better be.
But Truex, I feel, was better across the year.
Yeah.
That's the impression that I got, too. I thought it's not massively egregious.
Truex in his first year at Gibbs was phenomenal all year.
I should just note, out of all 4 NASCAR drivers on the list, Martin Truex Jr. has the most wins.
Hmm. Okay, I was going to say, probably a few places shy, but not too bad. I can live with that.
Fucking NASCAR playoffs.
Next on the list, 14th in the FIA Formula One World Drivers Championship, 31st on the list, Nico Hülkenberg.
Why?
Don't know.
How the hell was Hülkenberg that much higher than Raikkonen? Raikkonen had a better season by all accounts.
Was he 19 places better than Pierre Gasly?
No.
Fuck no.
Actually, considering the first half of Gasly's year, maybe. But,
maybe, but at the same time, like, Hülkenberg got utterly smoked by Daniel Ricciardo this year. He should not be on the top 50. And he shouldn't be that far ahead of Kimi Raikkonen, without a doubt. Raikkonen had a much better season in context, in my opinion, anyway. Next.
Okay. RJ, it's your turn to take the wheel. Godspeed to the next step.
All right. We're starting it off.
That doesn't sound promising.
We're starting it off hot with the soon-to-be New Zealand's number one. He is... For the second time in as many years, the GT 500 Drivers' Championship runner-up. He is your reigning and defending Super Formula Champion of Japan. He is none other than Big Dick Nick Cassidy at number 30. which is still too low.
Yeah, that's still too low. That's
by
too
the sounds
low.
Of it, still a bit low.
Yeah, the bullet points are really, really, you know, appreciative. Where they first bullet point, he's super formula champion. Second bullet point, he missed out on the GT500 title by 2 points. They're big on Nick.
But not big enough to put him any higher than 30.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
one ahead of Nico fucking Hulkenberg.
Also, Nick, if for any chance you're listening, you don't have to take that nickname. I borrowed it from an NFL quarterback. It's fine. Yeah. 29th on the list, the Cameron Buckley special, the man who brought our newest co-host, our rookie of the year, to tears. Your reigning month of May champion, Simon Pagenaud.
No!
Fuck you.
Yep.
Simon Pagenaud is 29th.
Simon Pagenaud is 29th.
Fuck Autosport. Fuck this establishment.
Simon Pagenaud is 2 places better than Nico Hulkenberg.
That's bullshit.
Roger.
Roger
Penske. If you're listening, buy Autosport and tear it down.
And he doesn't have to wait too long to find company because Will Power's in at 28.
How?
How was Will Power ahead?
Simon Pagenaud curb stomped everybody in May. He finished second in the championship.
Yes.
I don't even know.
Pagenaud's bullet points, Indianapolis 500 winner, IndyCar Series runner-up, led 116 laps of the Indianapolis 500.
He ground the field to dust. Simon Alexander Pagenaud's Rossi threw the sink at him, and Pagenaud caught it and threw it back.
Yeah.
And it should be noted that they even say in the bullet points, Simon Pagenaud, 3 wins this season, Will Power, 2.
Yeah,
Simon Pagenaud's month of May was worthy of winning a championship itself. That is absolutely bullshit. That's total nonsense.
In the words of
Will Power ahead of
in
him.
In the words
How?
Of a man wiser than I, Autosport, stay off the weed.
No. That is as bad as Alonso at 2 a couple of years ago. That is just horrendous.
We're not out of this 10 yet.
Hey,
how could it possibly be worse?
At number 27, he is a 2-time American Super Touring Car champion. He is the man with the bald spots and the boot cut. He is Kyle Busch.
I'm so mad.
Simon Pagenaud.
I'm so mad right now.
I know what'll make you feel better, Cam.
You know what it is?
Yeah, the next one will make you feel better, Cam.
You know what it is? Kyle Busch, in a vacuum, in that sport, is actually fine. It's just the people around him make it a million times worse.
Hold up. I want to clear the air for a moment.
Uh-oh.
If Fernando Alonso had won the Indy 500 this year, they would have named him the greatest driver of the fucking century.
Of course they would.
They would have put him number one. I don't even remember where he is because I don't remember the rest of this list. I don't think I want to.
Cam, it's fine. Cam, it's fine. Because,
we gotta move on.
Because at number 26 was... What if I told you that Kevin Estra was ahead of Kyle Busch at 26? Will that make you feel better?
A little bit.
Kevin Estra made that great pass at Spa-Francorchamps?
Kevin Estra, who made...
Yes, your WEC GTE pro champion.
Winner of the Spa 24 Hours. Wet weather god, apparently.
And they put him ahead of Simon Pagenaud. What?
In GT rate? Okay. Oh, it doesn't count. Because of the weird super season, I'm not going to count it. But Le Mans winner. It's weird.
This is more of an egregious on where Pagenaud was spotted. Like, again, in a vacuum, this is fine, but it's made worse because of the people around it.
It's about to get way worse.
Oh, Jesus. Go on.
At number 25, Ryan King's selection for Formula One Rookie of the Year. He, of course, not on the podium this past year, but he feel like he's got a chance in his new ride that he acquired around September. He is the TIE fighter. He is Alexander Albon, clocking in at 25.
Yeah.
Which personally, okay. Decent.
That's fine. That's fine. It's a little high, but that's not too bad. Again, in a vacuum. I get it. He was pretty good at Red Bull.
Sixth place is better than Hulkenberg, you'd say.
Yes.
I don't know if he was half a list ahead of Gasly, though, because their seasons almost mirror each other.
But again, we both said that Gasly's spot was probably quite harsh.
I also love my partner's new potential slogan for Rolex. Go take a shower, you stinky hippie.
Sounds about right.
All right. Number 24. He has, of course, the four-time champion of the world. Sebastian Vettel is in at 24, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, I am a devout Sebastian fan. We all know this. I can't really argue with that spot. Yeah, it was an okay year at best. It wasn't a great year.
Actually, I just remembered something. Sorry to cut you off, Dre. I'm not going to say it, but I just remembered something. I just realized, no, actually, fuck this.
Yeah, look, in a vacuum, I put Vettel's year down more to Ferrari than him, but that in a vacuum is fine. Oh, God.
I don't want to start my next section.
Carry on.
Okay. All right. So I've got a couple more to get through here. Number 23... is, of course, the rookie that had probably the most consistent season. It's Lando Norris
and Sebastian Vettel. I don't know how I feel about that.
Sebastian Vettel sandwiched between Albon and Norris.
Eesh.
The meme meister himself.
I feel like Norris should be higher. I think for... The problem for him is that he spent half of the year with his car... Well, you know, Renault.
Mostly on fire, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. He's got a good ceiling ahead of him.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Coming in at the Sid Vicious Goldberg special, spot number 22. Oh, man. The man who I had, who I think a lot of us had predicted, this might only be the year he defends his title. It wasn't. Scott Dixon, 22nd on the list.
Yes, he was fourth in the IndyCar series, had no wins, but 10 podiums.
Now he won. Scott Dixon.
He didn't go winless, did he?
Remember when Rosenqvist sent on him. He won that race.
He won a bit higher.
Wow. Then that's they did not mention that. Autosport. You fixed that.
It keeps getting every time we get to an IndyCar driver, it gets worse.
So let me get this straight. They literally made a publicized error and forgot the
Okay, Dixon. I found it. Yep, they did mention, like, deep in the feature article that he did have a win this year.
Jesus! I was gonna say.
It wasn't one of the bullet points.
Again, how do you, like, Dixon is always solid. That's his thing. He's always in the mix, but how was he ahead of Simon?
How is he ahead of Simon and Will Power?
That doesn't make any sense.
The thing is, Power also, had such an up and down season that I can kind of see it where he is, but I don't know.
But again, it boils back to the same point. Pagano was far too low.
All right, I'm going to pass the baton here with more super silhouettes. At number 21 is BMW's leading DTM representative, Marco Wittmann, noted man who lost an Uranio car the can at Fuji. I undersell that a little bit.
Yeah, BMW had 6 wins in DTM this year. Marco Wittmann scored 4 of those 6 wins.
Shall we say it was very valuable to that manufacturer?
Should a DTM guy be that high up the board at 21?
When you see a man, when you think of a man carrying a boulder on his back, that's Wittmann.
Atlas.
And considering that he was 3rd in DTM and the runner-up, Nico Müller, was 33rd.
How does that make any sense?
The cars they were driving.
I guess. I don't
know. Yeah. Oh, is it my turn again?
Yeah, the baton is yours. I have a feeling I'm going to love this at 10.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so the highest rated Formula One rookie on this list, 20th on the list, George Russell.
You're on crack.
No.
Big no.
How do you put George Russell above Albon and Norris?
How can you, rate him when he's driving a blue and white sled and the only person we can measure him against has one arm?
The man that was bottom of the F1 Drivers' Championship this year finished 20th on this list.
Fact number one, George Russell lost the fewest places off the grid that any
other person. He had no places to lose!
Fact number two, he had the highest number, he had the most consistent qualifying position. That alone speaks volumes.
I think this was a shitpost. I really think this is
a shitpost.
No, I genuinely think they were just memeing
this.
Yeah,
so the bullet points were made F1 debut, 20th in F1, and outqualified Robert Kubica 21 to 0.
No. How can you possibly measure him above the other two rookies on this list?
How is he 5 places better than Sebastian Vettel? How?
I mean, by
he scored no points.
His teammate, God bless him, has one arm.
Lando Norris was 4 spots lower. How? On the basis of what?
There is no justified argument other than just being a homer's club.
None. Unless Autosport is suddenly based in King's Lynn with all the gangsters in the hood, there is no way.
this was a boys' club pick.
Green Earth, is he 20?
That is
the definition of a boys' club pick. That is the boys' club pick. What? That's bullshit.
Okay.
Hey, King, is it time?
Yes, it's time.
Let's hit him
next
with it.
Next driver on the list.
Let's hit him with it.
Your Le Mans winner, your reigning FIA WEC champion,
no.
Number 19, Fernando.
No!
Oh, yes!
No! 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 No!
Okay. All right. How does a inherited Le Mans win because the sister car had a wiring loom issue of all things? Failing to qualify for the Indianapolis 500.
Man,
and winning
not qualify
winning a
for the Indy 500.
And winning a class in WEC where you are literally in a one team class.
No.
The only thing of legitimate note he did all year was win the Rolex 24. Where's Kamui Kobayashi on this list?
Not on the list. You know who else is not on the list?
Exactly.
Kazuki Nakajima's not on the list for the second year in a row that he was part of a Le Mans winning entry.
Did Andrew Benson write this?
What Bukkake was happening in the Autosport offices when they
I don't know if it was Bukkake considering they left Kamui and Kazuki off.
This is bullshit.
There is... Alonso.
That might be more egregious than him putting him at 2 a couple of years ago.
I think it is. I think it is. Because you know what? At least he achieved something in 2018.
No! This is.
Oh my god. Skip!
Okay. Can I move on or no?
Yes. Go ahead.
Moving on, 18th on the list, 10th in the FIA Formula One World Drivers' Championship, Sergio Perez.
Good at pizza.
No, he shouldn't. No, he should be disqualified from the list on the pizza alone.
Yeah.
However, I can see it.
This is fine. This is fine. That's fine. I actually have no problem with Perez being there on this list. Again, I'm still mad about fucking Alonso being there. What is this?
The guy who won the Indy 500 placed not even in the same.
he was 11 spots ahead of the man who clean swept the month of May,
and he didn't even qualify.
Okay, moving on.
Fuck this.
Moving on, your reigning FIA Formula 2 champion at number 17, Nick DeVries.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Was he that many places better than Schwartzman, though?
I think that's an issue of Schwartzman being where he is.
But again, I think Schwartzman was too low.
Yeah, I think DeVries is pretty much perfectly placed, and he's been pretty good in FE in that one, the one weekend we've seen.
Yeah, the one weekend that occurred during the time period this list counts.
Should note, Nick DeVries was number 2 on Formula Scout's top 50 drivers list, behind Schwartzman and ahead of Yuri Vips, who didn't make the list.
That's fine by me. No, again, that DeVries is fine there.
Next on the list, Fernando Alonso's teammate at number 16, Sebastian Buemi.
That might actually be a little high for Buemi.
I don't know, considering how he came on in the second half of the Formula E season.
I was going to say, in the second, I'd rate that more on his FE season than his WEC season, because again, they were in a one-car class.
Yeah, it's hard to put any sort of value on the WEC. But then again, he was okay in Formula E. He made a good late run in Formula E, but we expect better from Buemi in Formula E at this point. Don't get me wrong, I know the Nissan teething problems were certainly there the last season, so I can understand. I think it's a little high for Buemi on that one. Not too high. I get it. Next.
Yep. Next on the list, one of the Fugitives boys, number 15, Daniel Ricciardo.
Paid son.
What?
No. He was not that much better than Hülkenberg. Piss off.
Wait. So again, he's 15 spots better than Hülkenberg, roughly. Jesus.
Which means he is roughly 10 spots better than the best rookie class Formula One has had in a while. And ahead of Sebastian Vettel, and ahead of Sergio Perez.
This was Daniel Ricciardo's worst year in F1.
Comfortably.
It should be noted that he is down 2 spots on last year.
He went to a shit team that was cheating and was okay at Renault last year. He didn't blow anybody's heads
off. Considering the circumstances, he was like 5% better than Hülkenberg on the year. Maybe.
He's not worthy of a top 15 spot. I don't care what you tell me.
His car was, as mentioned, he
drove an illegal car. How the hell is he 15th?
But it was better without the cheats, Dre.
Bullshit.
I don't know. You know, they say NASCAR doesn't get a lot of respect, but I've found big, heavy, American-ish muscle cars right up in the top 20 in Fat King.
Yes, right up in the top 20. Your supercar
champ. No.
Bathurst 1,000.
No.
Win rate of 62%. Okay, actually, averaging finishing position of 2.3. Wow. The namesake of the award. Number 14, Scott McLaughlin.
Okay, now this one, I think I understand why he's as low as he is. Because his team was doing some things at Bathurst that weren't exactly kosher with the rules.
Don't know if it was necessarily his fault.
Yeah, but
that doesn't take away from his body of work.
But at the same time, first of all, Daniel Ricciardo just drove an illegal car and was as high as he is. And two, he is the only person where you could legitimately argue his case against Marc Marquez for most dominant person in motorsport. He destroyed the supercars field.
I was going to say, this seems low for Scotty. I think he should be borderline top 10.
Yeah, I'd probably put him like maybe 9th or 10th.
Yeah, outside of the top 10 seems about right for me. I think that's actually, again, it's not massively egregious to me. It's a little low, but I'm not ticked off about that. I get it in that sense. I mean, how
and
high
somewhere,
do you make supercars pound for pound?
And somewhere, Adam Johnson is sharpening an axe.
Where's my boy Gisbergen?
Okay, so next on the list, at number 13, your IndyCar Series champion, Joseph Newgarden.
Tennessee Sim, up 2 times, baby!
How the hell is he 13th?
Hang on a minute. Hang on. I've just realized something. Where's Alex Rossi?
Oh shit, he realized, goddamn.
Hang on a minute.
We'll get to Rossi when he comes.
No.
Okay, when we get to Rossi, I'm going to go off on one. Again.
Okay. Just so you know, I won't be handling that because RJ has
That's fine. I don't even remember where Rossi is.
I've got an idea for you. Got an idea for a top 10.
No. Okay. How on earth is Indy two-time champion outside of the top 10? And how the hell is he behind Alex Rossi? That's total nonsense.
Joseph knew. Okay, right. All right. I'm taking the Simon Pagenaud hat off for a minute. Joseph Newgarden was spectacular this year, across the whole year.
Incredible consistency.
The championship shouldn't have even really been as close as it was, considering what happened in Iowa with a certain unrepentant racist. But that's okay.
Yeah.
How?
Okay.
That's nonsense.
As I said, every time we get to an IndyCar driver, it gets worse.
IndyCar is, as an entirety, has been disrespected on this list.
My disrespect was sarcastic and drunk.
The blasphemy that is coming out of your mouth.
I am with you. It's totally bullshit. Like, IndyCar as a series has been pissed on in this list. Across the board. Next.
Moving on. Your FIA Formula One World Championship runner-up, number 12 on the list, Valtteri Bottas.
Fine, I guess.
It's
a little high, I think, for Valtteri, but...
I think Valtteri was flattered a little bit by how good the Merc was this year.
I guess. I mean, it's hard to stand out when Lewis Hamilton is still this good. But at the same time, this was comfortably his best year in Formula One to date, I would say.
He was still better than Ricciardo.
Oh, a damn sight better.
Again, as Jason said, okay in a vacuum, but again, due to the names around him, it looks worse than it is.
Yeah, the fact that he's only three spots higher than Daniel Ricciardo.
That's nonsense.
And the fact that he's ahead of the IndyCar champion when Bottas lost the championship how many races early? Sorry, King.
More okay. IndyCar disrespect.
Moving on to the last one that I have to do. Runner-up in the World Rally Championship, number 11, Thierry Neuville.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't disagree with that.
Yes, yeah.
I don't disagree with that at all.
That's fine. That's about right. I've got no problem with that. Top 10.
RJ, the floor is yours.
Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to tell you the names of all the people that are in the top 10. I'm going to let you guess where they ranked. So the people that are in the top 10, in alphabetical order by surname, are Mike Conway, Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc, Sebastian Ogier, René Rast, Alexander Rossi, Carlos Sainz Jr., Oit Tanak, Jean-Éric Vergne, and Max Verstappen.
Sounds about right.
All right. So, Mike Conway, MVP of the 24 Hours of Le Mans, runner-up in the World Endurance Drivers Championship. Where in the top 10 would you place noted road and street course mercenary of IndyCar past Mike Conweezy Conway?
8th.
7th.
You're both a little hot. Mike Conway was 9th.
I can see it. Unfortunately, he was the MVP of Le Mans, but Le Mans doesn't care sometimes.
Are you glad that Conway was ranked higher than Fernando Alonso?
Yes, because for me, Conway is the on current form is the best driver in the Toyota LMP lineup. Form, at least.
Charles Leclerc. 4th in the FIA World the Formula One World Championship, 2 times race winner.
He needs to be 10 and no higher.
Okay, so where I would put him is 10th, and I don't think he should be that high because He had the same He had the same season as Sebastian Vettel. They had the same season. Now, Leclerc gets an excuse because it's his second year in F1. But I know Autosport.
What have I told
you? And I know they're bullshit. They put him fourth, didn't they?
They put him right at number four.
Yo!
Oh, come on!
Fuck this place.
Come off it! How?
So that's two down.
Was that 20 places ahead of Seb?
20. Yes.
Yeah, about 20
for the same season.
That's bullshit.
For the same season.
Their seasons were virtually identical.
They both had meteoric highs. They both had crushing lows. They both made stupid mistakes. They both... they had the same season.
This publication can suck my dick.
Well, we have our episode title.
No, we can't make that the episode title.
Sebastian Ogier. Noted man who surrendered his World Rally Championship streak. Third in a very close championship fight. Where would you put him?
And also, I should note, according to Citroën, single-handedly killed the Citroën
World
Rally
Car program.
We all
know why they're really leaving. It's okay. I would have put Ogier... I would have put him sixth.
Dre?
They do tend to smile quite highly on rally on this list, traditionally. Eighth?
Mm-hmm. You average it out. Sebastian Ogier was seventh on the list.
I can see it.
Seven.
We know he was kind of carrying the Citroën team on his back.
Yeah.
Which is why he said, "Fuck these people. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go to the most dominant team in the sport."
Also, by the way, only the big three made it out of the World Rally Championship. No love for anybody else in this championship.
Yeah.
Fair.
I can see
That's
it.
Fair.
Rene.
This was sorry crowd enough.
Rene Rast, your all-encompassing, all-dominant DTM champion for Audi. Sasha, if you're listening to this. We know whatever we rate this is going to be too low for your liking. That's okay.
Sasha, I'm prepared for you to block me. 10th.
Oh, God. 9th. You're going to get blocked, fam. 9th.
DTM, he was an unstoppable force of nature.
Pascal Sutherland was the youngest champion that series ever had, and he was 9th the year he made the list.
But in sports cars... You're gonna put him that high over Kevin Estra, who whooped his ass on multiple occasions this year?
But these ain't sports cars, they're touring cars.
I'm talking about in GT racing.
RJ's got some bad news.
Because
for
he's Audi's.
Rene Rast came in at number 8.
Yeah, he's Audi's ace in the hole in GT racing. Still.
Audi, Rene Rast is number 8.
Yeah. Okay. Rene Rast is 8th.
So Rene Rast, by the way, is sandwiched between Mike Conway below him and Sebastian Ogier above him. Alexander Rossi, who, as you may have guessed, is the highest ranked NTT IndyCar Series driver in this Autosport Top 50 publication.
Okay, and yeah, so where's Rossi? We already filled out, 9, 8, 7, and 4.
I have a terrible feeling he ended up 6th.
Cam, you want to wager a guess?
I'm scared to.
Come on, just for fun.
They put him fourth. They put him fourth.
That was a close spot.
No, it's
all fuzzy to me now.
Alexander Rossi has made the Firestone Fast sits right in sixth.
Right. Okay,
and
so the guy
Newgarden was 13th.
So the guy who got destroyed across the year by Joseph Newgarden for the championship, and destroyed in a head-to-head fight by with Simon Pagenaud at the 500, placed better than both of them.
So
bullshit. That's
so
total bullshit.
In the article, they try to play it off as Rossi being held back.
Are
by
you kidding me?
That's nonsense.
Entrini is
bruh.
Oh my god.
Guys,
he was in a straight up, you know, fate of the universe on the line fight with Simon Pagenaud. And Simon Pagenaud used him as a tool in the last couple of laps to get a draft.
Nonsense.
In a head-to-head with Joseph Newgarden, he lost almost every single time this year. There's no justification.
Yeah.
Zero.
All right, if you're going to argue that Andretti was bad, okay, Andretti's other drivers. Marco Andretti, less said the better. Ryan Hunter-Reay, probably the worst year that he's had at Andretti. Like, you can't... Oh, my God. They're one of the top teams in the sport.
Okay. So now we've gotten through five of these. Carlos Sainz.
The open spots left. 10th, 5th, 3, 2, 1.
5.
Cam?
5.
We know Motorsport Network is not Motorsport 101 because they would not disrespect Carlos Sainz by putting him at number 5 when he is clearly our driver of the year. Carlos Sainz was 5th.
Carlos Sainz.
That's fine.
One spot behind Charles Leclerc.
I would have put him 2nd.
There is an argument Carlos Sainz is in the top 3 as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. But you know what? That's not a million miles away from where I would have put him personally, so that's fine by my reckoning. Again, vacuum pick, that's absolutely fine. What, like, Charles Leclerc being ahead of him is just wrong. It's just categorically wrong.
If you don't have Carlos Sainz in your top 2 drivers, or top 3 at least, in F1 this year, you didn't watch.
You're wrong.
You're wrong. The blasphemy coming out of your mouth right now.
You're wrong. Like, again, Carlos, again, I think that pick is fine at 5. That is a little short, just a little bit, but I'm not gonna, like, I've boiled enough piss over this.
So now we've got the top of the list, and then we have the top 3. Where would you put the man who ended the Sebastian streak? 6-time World Rally winner this season, 9 podiums, 73 stage wins, your reigning, defending World Rally champion, the unsinkable Oit Tanak.
3rd. Bronze medal.
Right on the money.
Yeah, right on the money. Meaning we only have 3 drivers remaining.
So somebody was 10th, and then I think we can probably guess who was 2 and 1. Probably.
Yes.
I'm gonna give you 2 Vs. Jean-Eric Verne and Max Verstappen. Which one was higher and which one was lower?
Jev probably 10th. I'd say Jev gets the 10th spot because Formula was probably a bit too competitive for his own good to really enhance his profile this year. So I think Jev was probably 10th, which is about right. Verstappen, I reckon, is 2nd.
So, yes, Jean-Eric Verne was 10th, defending the Formula E Championship. It should be noted, on last year's list, Jean-Eric Verne was 3rd.
It's a bit of, like, again, it's not really Jev's fault, but the series was more competitive last year, and that's probably what's done him in.
Which, like, is a very unfair argument, considering that he's the first driver ever to defend their championship, and he won in the most competitive Formula E championship, which is arguably the most competitive single-seater championship.
Yeah, that's why I set it up like that, because there could have been a good case to be made. He could have been 2nd on the list again.
Look, that's fine. Again, it's a bullshit argument to deduct Jeff for that. A more competitive series should actually be an enhancement, not a downgrade.
Now, how is it less of an achievement that you had to fight harder for the title and still won?
Correct. But I can also, again, in a vacuum, I'm not totally against 10th either. So,
Max Verstappen is 2nd.
No.
Max Verstappen is 2nd, which means Max Verstappen is 2 places ahead of Charles Leclerc and 3 spots ahead of Carlos Sainz.
That's a little high. It's not massively high. Verstappen
had the same year that he did in 2018. He just spread out his crashes instead of having them all race after race.
But wasn't Verstappen really high up last year as well?
I believe he was, let me double check. He was 5th last year.
So he moved up 3 places.
But he was better than last year, at least.
A little bit. He wasn't better than Sainz.
A little bit.
Again, I'm fine with that. For the look, it's Max Verstappen. They wax lyrical over this dude. Of course he was going to be second.
He is basically 40% of Haaland's economy at this point.
Pretty only 40? Like Michael van Gerwen's the other 60 at this point.
I don't know. PSV Eindhoven might account for some of that slice.
Yeah, maybe throw some Ajax in there. Did they make the Champions League semifinals?
Pretty much. Pretty much. You get no points for guessing who is number one. It is, of course, your six-time reigning, defending Formula One champion in the world, Lewis Hamilton.
Yep. Was it ever in doubt? Was it ever in doubt?
No, there's no argument there.
I did do a bit of cursory research. The last time that the Formula One world champion was not ranked number one on this list was back in 2016, when Nico Rosberg won the championship.
Because, of course.
And that year, wasn't the first time we did it on the show?
I don't know.
Because of how insane number one was, that the number one driver Autosport had for the year Daniel was Ricciardo. Daniel Ricciardo.
Remember that, yeah. They had Daniel Ricciardo number one that year, and to be fair, he was awesome in 2016, so I can kind of understand why. Hindsight's a bitch, ain't it?
It's the same thing, like how the only...
Nah, even in hindsight, yeah, it's still real bad.
Yeah, it's like how the only time they don't give out race car of the year to the winning F1 car is when a British car wins Le Mans.
So, was this list more infuriating than last year's? Give me an Anthony Fantano scale. What are you feeling? Like a strong 7 to a light 6?
13.8.
69.
This list was horrendous. Not nice.
I need to take up arms, not because my country's going to draft me, but to defend Simon Pagenaud's honor.
Yo, I'm just... George Russell, 20th.
Sebastian Vettel, 24th.
Charles Leclerc, 4th.
4th. IndyCar as an entire series got pissed on. They were shit on from a great height.
Dane Cameron, DPI driving god, 49th.
George Russell should not be on this list. And he was 20th. Oh, Lord. IndyCar is a joke. Alex Rossi should not have been sick. He was not held back by Andretti whatsoever.
As a fan of Will Power, should Will Power have even been on this list?
No, this was a down year for Will Power. Even Zoe would admit that. This was a down year by Power's standards. Maybe in the 40s, maybe, but he should not have been as high as 28, and certainly not ahead of Simon Pagenaud.
You know...
Alonso 19th, who didn't even qualify. He wasn't even fast enough to get the privilege of getting his ass handed to them by Pagenaud.
So let me get this straight. Alex Rossi was held back by Andretti and finished 6th, and Fernando Alonso, in the worst McLaren performance outfit of the modern age, finished 19th.
Yeah, like, they have quotes from Rossi that they did an interview with Rossi. It's like... quote, purely looking at the handling side of it, there are a lot of set-up philosophies we got almost too carried away with and distracted by. I don't think our sim program is where it should be.
Nonsense.
And setup on the car is part of the driver's responsibility.
No, listen, if you had an outside shot of winning the title, you can't be telling me this car was shit. Not in IndyCar, which is glorified spec. That is complete nonsense.
Yeah.
And again, he should not be 7 places ahead of Joseph Newgarden.
We're back, folks.
I don't want to be. I'm resigning. I'm resigning. I'm starting.
I quit.
What do you mean you're quit? I'm fired.
I'm mad. That was a fucking joke.
Yeah, and also Zoe raises a very good point. So Autosport penalizes Jev for being in a more competitive FE while Lewis gets first in one of the greatest Formula One cars ever developed? A car literally could not lose for the first half of the year?
And Bottas was 12th. Yeah.
Yeah, literally, this is a quote from, this is the opening sentence of the feature on Jev. Perhaps not quite as good as last season was Autosport's assessment of John Eric Verne's 2018-2019 Formula E performance.
He was in a more competitive series, and he got the title. What more can you ask for?
You know, Kenta Yamashita was sandwiched two spots above and two spots below guys who were in the faded husk of what used to be the World Touring Car Championship, but in cars for pro-ams.
Yeah, anything involving WTCR is immediately disqualified from this list.
This was the worst list they've done to date.
Fernando, you deserve your second place compared to this.
Yeah, it makes last year's list actually look, you know...
Yeah, Ricardo twice as good as Hülkenberg. And he was barely better than Hülkenberg.
Charles Leclerc was fourth.
He was 20 places ahead of Sebastian Vettel, putting in an identical season.
Complete horseshit. I might even write a post breaking this down as to how bullshit this is.
I might help you on it.
Oof. Dear God!
It's good to be back.
Any racing next week?
Not really.
I suppose next week we'd do a proper Rolex 24 preview. I'm too angry to think now about that.
Yeah, I think our next race is not... This weekend's just Asia Le Mans series.
Oh, actually, news. Next weekend we got... News regarding that. Shane Van Gisbergen making his prototype debut in the Asian Le Mans series.
Along with number 30th on the list, Nick Cassidy. I did see that. Next week, we got the Formula E Santiago E-Prix.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. We do.
Oh, so we could comfortably take a week off and then come back to review this.
Hey. So, should I wrap this marathon up?
Yes. Oh, it's good to be back.
Oh, it's good to be back. I needed that. That was a funny fucking show. Right, basically you can find us really quick. YouTube.com/Motorsport101. Facebook.com/Motorsport101. Twitter @Motorsport_101. And our personal handles @Harrison101HD. @RJ O'Connell. @RyanEricKing. @CBuckley917. Patreon.com/Motorsport101. $5 gets you early access to all of our shows. $10 gets you in the supporters club of our Discord server where you can listen to these shows live as they go out. Massive thanks to Toki, who somehow made it here. Steven's here. Tony, Steve, Vince, Jason, Vic's here as well. And Zoe, of course. Thanks for contributing in the chat. Hamilton is a babe. So thanks for that, Zoe. Much appreciated. Thanks to everyone that's listening in tonight. It's a pleasure to be back. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time to break down Formula E in Santiago. Sorry I missed you, man. I missed him in the chat. Sorry, my bad. I missed Sock in here as well. But good to see you, buddy. Sorry about that. I missed you on the list there. But we'll be back in 2 weeks' time to review Santiago's E-Prix. Hopefully the track will actually stay in one piece this time round compared to last year. But it's great to be back, everybody. I've been Andre Harrison. They've been Cam Buckley, Ryan King, and RJ O'Connell. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Actually, no, the week after. My bad. Sayonara.
Later, y'all.
Bye.
Fuck this publication.
Carlos going two crimes.